So let me just read this passage here in Galatians chapter 6. If you're using the Bible in the pew, it's page 1155. And there, I believe there is an outline on YouVersion as well. It says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." Hey, let's just pause and pray for a moment. Father, as we open your word, we hear your voice, and we ask, God, that your Spirit would indeed speak to us, that your Spirit would challenge us, that we would be honest before you with our resistances, with our desire for learning, and everything in between. And so, God, would you allow us to hear what it is that you have for us to hear as individuals, but also what you have for us to hear as a community of believers. And we commit this to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. "As I walked through the wilderness, I came to a certain place where there was a den, and I laid myself down in that place to sleep. And as I slept, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed, and I thought that I saw in my dream a man standing with his face turned away from his house. He was clothed in rags, a book was in his hand, and a great burden was on his back. Then I saw him open the book and read, and as he read, he wept and he cried, 'What shall I do?' And by, he turned and he went into his house, and his wife and children saw that he was in trouble, and they wondered, but he kept silent for a long time and said not a word. At last, when he could no longer hold it in, he said, 'Dear ones, do you see the great burden that is on my back? It is so heavy that I can hardly bear its weight.' But they could not see the burden, and they wondered at his words. 'Dear Father,' they said, 'you are very tired, and when you have slept and are rested, you'll feel much better.' 'I know,' he answered, 'it's not sleep that will relieve me, for this book says that the city in which we live will surely be burned with fire, and unless we escape from it soon, we shall all perish. Do you wonder that I am distressed?' They looked at him sorrowfully, for they feared that he had lost his mind, and then they persuaded him to lie down. But he could not sleep, and all night long he tossed upon his bed, groaning and weeping, and very early in the morning he arose. His children came to him and said, 'Dear Father, how do you feel after your night's rest?' And worse, he answered, 'There's no rest for me while this heavy burden is on my back.' 'We cannot see any burden,' said his wife. 'You're surely losing your mind.' The man looked at her sadly and then went out into the fields. And there he walked back and forth all day, sometimes reading from his book and sometimes weeping most bitterly. 'What shall I do to be saved?' And he looked this way and that, and as if he would run, but he did not know which way to go." That is the beginning of the story of a man first named Graceless, but eventually named Christian, as told in the classic book, Pilgrim's Progress. I encourage you, if you've never read it, to read it. It's a story about carrying a burden, searching for relief, and being able to navigate through all kinds of different circumstances and people to eventually find the way in which that burden is ultimately relieved. And so today, as we talk about carrying one another's burdens, as we enter into this passage in Galatians chapter 6, I want you to understand one thing at the outset. This affects us all. It affects us all. Because either we are sitting here this morning, we currently have a burden that is probably too much for us to bear, or we've either convinced ourselves that it's not, or we notice somebody who seems as though they have a burden that they're carrying. And so it does affect us all, and it will always be that way. And so understanding what God has to say about that is important. So let me just share with you some things from God's Word. But before we get there, I want you to look at verse 1, in chapter 6 and verse 1, that we have some things to learn before we can carry one another's burden. Some of us are very anxious. We're very quick to say, hey, that's that person's burden. I know how to carry it for them. But before you get there, there's some things that we need to take stock of, okay? And it's simply this. Before we can, we all have something to learn before we can carry, and that's this, to handle it with care. Handle it with care. And I want you to notice how this passage is directed at brothers and sisters. He said, brothers and sisters, talking about the whole assembly. It's not directed to elders or governing board members. It's not directed towards pastors or staff. It's directed towards all of us as a church family, brothers and sisters, united by our faith in Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about the importance and the privilege and blessing of carrying other burdens. There are some things that we need to first distinguish. Ask yourself these three questions. The first question is this. What is the goal? What is the goal? The goal is not to acquire information about somebody else's situation. Often we are satisfied by that. In fact, many times we just want to know that. We want to know what's going on with somebody just for the sake of having that information and maybe continuing to pass it along in ways that sometimes are appropriate and sometimes are not. The goal is not to hear myself sound smart in front of others. The goal is not to be judgmental. The goal is not to condemn. The goal is not to belittle somebody else. The goal is not to seem self-righteous. The goal is to restore someone. The goal is to see restoration take place within somebody else's life. So that's the first question to ask. The second question to ask before you even get started in this is, who should handle it? Who should handle it? That's something else that Paul speaks to as he's writing to the Galatians. While the instructions are directed at everyone, the task, he says, is not necessarily for everyone. In fact, it says specifically the task of carrying the burden for others are for those who are living by the Spirit. That's different than just somebody who thinks that they are religious. It's different than just showing up at church every week or every once in a while. It's different than just possessing a Bible and having it in your home. The task of spiritual restoration is for those who are taking steps to grow in their faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that they're perfect, but perhaps in the area of this burden, they have seen God at work, and they are then foremost equipped to help somebody be restored. It does mean that they are humbly aware of their own sin and the power of God to help them through life. And so the third question then is, how should this be done? And this is probably the hardest part for us in a solution-generated culture, a quick solution, fast and ready culture to understand. It should be done gently. Gently. Restoration takes time, whether it's furniture, whether it's cars, but especially when it's people. It involves carefully identifying areas of repair. It involves carefully undoing or unpacking or removing what is there. And it also involves carefully stepping through the renewal process. It often takes time, it takes intentionality, it takes commitment, and it takes a genuine care for the other person. So that's just preliminary. Right, before we get into here verses 2 and 3 about carrying each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And here's what you need to understand about burdens then. Both for you who have a desire to help others, and for you who have a burden and you feel weighted down by it, even perhaps as we speak this morning. Burdens were never meant to be carried alone. They were never meant to be carried alone. It doesn't say don't have a burden. Don't over-guilt yourself in that. It doesn't say that you shouldn't have a burden. But it says don't carry it alone. Carry one another's burdens. The influence of a society that continues to promote individualism has definitely affected the function of church families. People enter tentatively. Some disappear for long stretches of time during their own periods of difficulty. Others do their best to mask the difficulties that they face. We repeat phrases like, I can do this by myself. I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Or my favorite one is this, it is what it is. I'll just deal with it. The more that we do, the more that we add, then the more weight we add to the burden we're already carrying. The more that we do these things, the more that we pretend these things, we actually add more weight to the burden that we're carrying. So what is a burden anyway? How do I know whether I've got one on my back? Because probably right now you're for the most part sitting up straight and you feel, I'm okay with this. A burden is likely unseen visibly. But it can be described from a biblical perspective as one of two things. The first is the weight of sin. This occurs when you refuse to accept God's gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. You remain in your sinful condition. You try to live your life apart from the gift of the Holy Spirit, or you're a believer in Christ, and you allow unconfessed sin to remain in your life. You're trying to hang on to that. For whatever reason, you're doing something, saying something, thinking something that you know is contrary to what God would have you do. And that adds to the weight. It compounds the weight of that sin. And you try to take your steps every day, yet with the weight of that burden upon your back. The second way burden is described is the heaviness of circumstance. It's profound. It penetrates deeply. It feels as though it's stuck to you. And like the beginning of the story in Pilgrim's Progress, nobody else can really see it, but you feel its weight. It probably affects your health, your perspective as you go through a day. It can take the form of worry or fear or doubt and even indifference to others. It most often involves decisions that need to be made, whether that be about relationships or finances or your future, or about how finances will contribute to your relationships in the future. All of those things probably interconnect in some way, add to the weight of the burden that you're carrying. You can often tell that you're carrying a burden if you tend to blame others for your situation. You tend to be defensive about your circumstance. You are judgmental about others. And you minimize or ridicule even the idea that others are carrying lighter burdens than you. So they have it easy. They would never understand. You isolate and essentially isolate yourself by keeping everybody else at arm's length. Burdens are often unseen. but they can definitely be perceived by those who are truly attentive to the lives of others. The importance of sharing the load of others comes with this encouragement and challenge. Carry one of each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And he said also this, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so our desire, our willingness to come alongside someone, our openness to having somebody else come alongside us with the burden that we carry should affect two things. One, our commitment, our ongoing development of our relationship with God, and our care and concern, our love for each other. Am I willing to respond in a way that demonstrates the love of God and the love for others? In fact, that's kind of the flow of this whole passage. And if you just scan down there to verse 10, at the end of this little section, Paul says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the household of the family of believers. So the question of ought we to carry one another's burdens is simply yes, we do. But we need to exercise some caution, and we spoke about that in verse 1. Because it's ultimately the greatest part of the greatest good that we can do is to help each other in our spiritual journey, in our walk with the Lord, as we grow in our love for God and our capacity to demonstrate that love to others. Then as you look at verses 4 to verse 9, I want you to take a look at this. If you're sitting here this morning and you feel that you have this burden, and your thought is it's almost debilitating, and you can, if you handle it incorrectly, you can say, well, it's somebody else's fault that I don't love God. It's somebody else's fault for that. Paul's reminder here is that each of us must take responsibility for our own spiritual growth. You see that? Each one should test their own actions. They can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. So we do have something to carry. We do have something to carry. It's not our burden. It's not our burdens, but there is a load that we do need to carry. Each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. The reason why we help each other carry burdens is so that we can properly focus our attention on carrying well the thing that we're supposed to carry. But as we allow the weight of our burden to debilitate us, to prevent us in that, then we lose our effectiveness in our ability to handle this our spiritual growth. If you look back in the context of this passage, if you look back into chapter 5, you realize that this comes right on the heels of, right after Paul is speaking about the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit versus the evidence of the sinful nature. And he talks about living by the Spirit and walking by the Spirit. And essentially, what that's referring to is how do we make decisions every day that honor the Spirit of God, that reflect God's truth, that demonstrate the goodness of Jesus Christ? Are we making those decisions that are reflective of the fruit of the Spirit? Are we making those decisions that are reflective of the sinful nature? That's how we learn to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, to make decisions that honor God. And so in verse 5, when Paul says each one should carry his own load, he's reminding us that our primary goal is to focus on Christ and to be obedient to the will of God the Father as it's disclosed to me through the ministry of the Holy Spirit as I interact with God through His Word and through prayer. And while you might think there's an implied contradiction here with verse 2 and when Paul says we got to carry this for each other, but now you have to carry this, like, what am I supposed to carry? I think the importance is to recognize that though the idea of carrying is important, what you're carrying is also all the more significant. And the first, we're being challenged to come alongside others in a gentle and humble manner to help them walk under a load that it seems to be getting added to, so that they too might be free of that load and then begin to develop their walk with the Lord. And in this instance, in verse 5, the load or burden is really, it's singular, and it speaks to that development of our sinful, of our spiritual nature. It actually is reflective of the invitation that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 11 when he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, but my burden is light." So Jesus had something that he carried. He had an appropriate burden. Jesus' burden is exactly what Paul is referring to carrying here. And what was Jesus' burden? Jesus' burden was to live his life with a single-minded purpose to glorify God. And the way he did that was by demonstrating that to others. And so you see, this is reflective of the way in which Jesus invites us to himself, our capacity to engage others. And also then, a reminder, our willingness to share with others, these are the things that are, this is what's going on in my life. Will you walk with me in it? And so as you enter into this relationship, you'll always be examining yourself and your own motives. As you open yourself up to receiving help and carrying your burden, it should result in marked by a heart of gratitude as you receive help. And that's what's evident in verse 6, to let the one who instructs you. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. As the Lord allows you freedom in a particular area, then be careful to thank the one or the ones who have come alongside you in that. Be intentional about that. Because you know what that does? It actually adds life. It shows the vitality of God's Spirit at work among us. If we're always quick to receive help or yearning to receive help but are never thankful, then we remove ourselves from understanding how great our God is. But here's some sobering news to keep in mind. As you read verses 7 and 8, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Verses 7 and 8 reminds us of this. In a certain way, and this is consistent, you read at the end of the Lord's Prayer, much the same way, God allows you to set the standard by which he will deal with you. So if this is the way you want to deal with people, that's fine. But then don't be surprised then if God deals with you in the same way. We reap what we sow. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, and you look back into chapter 5 and the evidence of the Spirit, then from the Spirit will reap eternal life. But whoever sows to please their own fleshly desires, their own selfish desires, and you can look back and see what some of those descriptions are, both not only in the book of Galatians, but also in Ephesians and Colossians and Thessalonians, as it goes all the way through, the evidence of our prideful, sinful nature. If those are the things that you're doing, is that how you're basing the decisions that you're making, then you shouldn't be surprised that this is what you're receiving in return. There's a sense in which God says, okay, this is how you want to be dealt with, then this is how I'll deal with you. Don't be surprised by those things. And why is this important? Because I think God does have something for us to carry. But it's not what we think. We think we got to muddle through with all this stuff weighted on our back, but God actually just wants us to be able to understand the freedom, actually, that comes with high-stepping through life, carrying his burden, because his yoke is easy, right? And his burden is light. The idea of honoring God in my decisions, it actually becomes incredibly freeing. It's incredibly freeing. It's invigorating to be able to do that which God has called and purposed you to do it for his glory, not to do it out of duty or obligation, but to do it freely. It's invigorating. But there's one more thing he wants you to carry. There's one more thing through which his power is made available to you. And he lets us know that here in verses 14 to 17. It's the marks of suffering. It says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." We are unable to bear the burdens of this life. However, the reminder for us is that we don't need to shoulder it all. God has given to us. Remember, these words are spoken into a family of believers. They're not written to an individual. They're spoken to a group of people just like us, different in our experience, different in our backgrounds, but united in Jesus Christ. So God has given us to each other, but he's also given us a Savior in Jesus Christ. And I wonder how many times we minimize the role of Jesus in the circumstances that we face. There is one willing to shoulder it all, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to earth and willingly took the weight of our sin upon his shoulders. He willingly took our suffering upon his frame. He willingly took our sickness upon his holy condition. He willingly took our cares within his sovereign hands. He willingly took our sorrows within his compassionate heart. And with the weight of all our burdens, he dragged himself upon a cross and was crucified. And because he did, because he died, he submitted himself to the power of God, who applied his resurrection power to raise him to life. As Jesus is raised to life, the power of God through his death brings him life, so too are our cares and our sufferings and our sicknesses and our sorrows raised according to his resurrection power. How often have we, in our prideful, narrow-minded selfishness, neglected the resurrection power of God as applied to our daily circumstances? How often have we tried to muddle through, weighted down by our burdens, because this is my cross to bear? I don't know who came up with that statement, but it wasn't the way Jesus said it. Jesus actually has a cross for you to bear. He wants you to recognize the power in which God gives you to navigate through the difficult circumstances of life. Absolutely. But then to be able to give him glory, to be able to share your story with how he's seen you through. Those are the marks of suffering that you bear upon your lives. And many of us have borne those marks. And it's important to keep sharing those stories. And it's important to keep going through the difficulties, submitting them to God, so that his resurrection power can be applied to it, knowing that there might be marks, but there'll be marks that will point to his glory, and there'll be marks that will serve to allow others to bear the weight of the burden that they're carrying. Ultimately, we cannot solve everybody's problem. We cannot do that. I cannot do that. Jesus, that's his problem. That's his offer to us. He says this, "I have crucified Paul says this, I have been crucified to the world, and the world has been crucified to me. And for a long time, that statement messed with my mind. What does that even mean? Why would he say that? I don't get it. And maybe I still don't get it. But when I place my faith in Jesus Christ and I live my life by his Spirit, I no longer need to carry my burdens alone. I'm free to allow others to shoulder them with me. Here's what's going on in my life. Would you pray for me in this area? Because here's really what I want to focus in on. I'm free to fully engage life for the glory of God, knowing that I may also need to carry the marks of Jesus upon me. And they're only there because God applies his resurrection power to me. And so in the same way as Christ was crucified and God applies his resurrection power to Christ to give him life by which we inherit eternal life through our faith in him, in much the same way, the world has been crucified. In fact, the dangers, the fears, the doubts, the darkness that the world provides has essentially been crucified. It's been killed, and God's power is applied to that. And I am free to engage the world for the glory of God and for the sake of demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ to others. Is that really our motivation to do that? And I too have therefore been crucified with Christ. And as Paul would say in Philippians, he's been crucified with Christ and he no longer lives, but Christ lives in him. The Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of that. So when Jesus says to take up your cross daily, he doesn't mean just muddle through in the difficulties that you have. It's a reminder of the single-minded purpose to glorify God in the decisions that I have to make and to be willing to come alongside others, to make that known to others, exemplified perfectly, no peer, in through Jesus Christ in his example. And I trust through this series, this season of Lent, where we practice the idea of denying ourselves something that we regularly need or is built into our lives in order to spend more time focusing on Jesus, I trust that God really teaches you more about that. I trust that he challenges you to empty yourself of something that you think that you absolutely need and builds in you a sense of anticipation for Resurrection Sunday. Not just because we're going to have an awesome breakfast from 8:58 to 9:58. That's in your bulletin. You can check that later. But also because we're going to celebrate the power of the resurrection, raising Jesus to life and inviting us all to just in like manner apply his resurrection power to our lives. The question that you have to answer, the question, and maybe there's more than one, but at least one, are you carrying something you shouldn't be? Are you carrying something you shouldn't be? That's a hard one to answer. And I trust that God will give you grace and opportunity to do so. Maybe this time that we're going to take around the table this morning will be helpful in helping you sort that out. Let me just read for you another portion of Pilgrim's Progress. He says, "Now I saw in my dream that Christian went on slowly and with great difficulty, for the road was steep and the burden on his back was very heavy. But he toiled on until he came to a hill upon which there was a cross. And at the foot of the hill there was a sepulcher. And so as he climbed on the hill and came up to the cross, behold, his burden fell from his shoulders and began to tumble. And it rolled downward till it came to the mouth of the sepulcher, and where it fell in, I saw it no more. Oh, how merry of heart was Christian then. He stood for a while to look and wonder, for it seems very strange that the sight of the cross should thus ease him of his burden. And as he wondered and wept, he saw three shining ones who saluted him and said, 'Peace to you.'
The first said to him, I give you a pure heart. The second stripped him of his rags and clothed him in beautiful garments. And the third set a mark on his forehead and gave him a little book with a seal upon it. Keep this book with care, he said, and read in it often as you journey onward. When you come to the celestial city, show it to the keeper of the gate. It shall be your passport. And so the shining ones vanished from sight, and Christian was so filled with joy that he leapt three times in the air and then went on singing. Thus far did I come with my burden of sin, and nothing could ease the grief that I was in. But when I came hither, the burden I lost, and I found peace and joy at the foot of the cross. This morning you are invited to the foot of the cross, the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, through which forgiveness of sin is offered. And perhaps for you, you've never made that decision. You've never cemented that decision in your life at all. Maybe today is this opportunity, is a way in which to take that first step, to acknowledge that Christ is my Savior and He is my Lord. Perhaps it's a way for you in which you can begin to restore some of the sin, the burden that you've been carrying if you are a believer in Christ. And so let me encourage you to allow God to examine your heart. Are there things that you are choosing that are going according to the sinful nature, but you know that they ought to be reflective of the life of the Spirit? Would you talk to God about that? And then would you apply the brokenness of Jesus Christ, the power of the resurrection, and ask God to gently restore you? Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Father, that the burdens that we carry are never unseen by you, never unfelt by you. Thank you for coming alongside of us, for teaching us well, for speaking into the difficulties that often remain unseen and yet occupy so much of our energy and emotion. And so, Father, would the power of Jesus be resident among your people here today. As we come to the foot of the cross, Father, may we, like Christian in this story, look up and recognize the ways in which your power alleviates, takes away the burden, the weight that we carry. Will we find restored life, renewed life, through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.